Welcome to a live preaching message from the Manhattan branch of Lycos International Church in New York City, where the Word of God is imparted clearly, practically, and comprehensively for present-day living. Our aim is to provide a solid foundation of Bible-based instruction to our church members to equip them to preach and teach the gospel wherever they might be. Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Matthew 21:3. I said 3. Yeah, why are you in 10? Hey, brother. Okay, let's start from verse 1 so we can get the whole story. Just a small message. I'm just giving a word of exhortation. Verse 1. Hey, verse 1, you are showing me pictures. Okay. You have to be speedo. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said, and you will see a donkey, if you can give me the King James, tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them here, King James, if you can. But it doesn't matter. Saying unto them, okay, loose them and bring them unto me. Verse 3. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord had need of them. And straightway he will send them. Jesus said, I'm sending you to the village. When you go, there's a donkey there. Go and unloose. And if any man will ask you, who will send you? It's the question, what I want to address. Okay, I mean, this is just a short exhortation before I even preach my message. My Palm Sunday message for you is that anticipate problems. Do what? Problems. So that you can have a mind. Jesus said, listen, go and take the donkey. But he said, if anyone, in other words, don't think you're going to take the donkey and everyone will be quiet. Don't think you go and take the donkey and everyone will go. With ease. So he anticipated the problem. A lot of us move on in life not anticipating problems. So say, if any man should ask you, what is it? Say, the master has need of, which is the appropriate answer. Because and if you had not prepped them that way, they would not have given them the donkey. They would have not given the donkey. There is something called preparation and anticipation of problems. Hallelujah. So my Paul said is anticipate and think about it. Don't wait till the thing arrives, then you are scratching your head. Why are you going for a job interview without preparing? That is why the Bible says that the prudent man or the wise man, he sees the evil afar off. What I want to share, this is just a word of exhortation to somebody. Think about problems. Whatever we are going to do, what are the possible problems? So you can solve them in advance. He said, if anybody was to ask you, say the master has need of it. And if you had not prepped them that way, they will have failed. Hallelujah. So let's anticipate. Say, if anybody has need of it. See, a lot of times we fail because we don't prepare. Preparation of the gospel. You don't prepare. We don't prepare. It's the lack of preparation that leads to failure. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know. Prepare. Anticipate. Anticipate what can possibly go wrong and solve it so that when it comes up, you are ready. Can I get an amen? I say, can I get an amen? Yeah. That's my Palm Sunday. He said, look, when you go and anybody asks you, tell them the master has need. That's all. I mean, can you imagine if you had not told them that? And they went. They could have gotten arrested. They could be in big trouble. Anticipate problems and solve them. Yes. Think about them already in your head. So that the day it comes up, you have an answer for it. Many of us walk blindly into situations. May you anticipate problems. And may God give you the right answer.
Amen.
I say, may you anticipate problems and may God give you the right answer.
Amen.
I say, may you anticipate and may God give you what? The answer. Right answer.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'll pray for you one by the time I finish. I'm just sharing that. Today's Reverend Kwame's day. It's like Reverend Kwame's wedding, so relax. On your wedding, we're there for 5 hours. So why that today? How come today you want us to close? Today is his day. Let's all relax.
Let's enjoy.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, let's talk about. What should we talk about, Apache? Hallelujah.
Flow.
Our flow.
That's right.
Let's talk about experiences from salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because, the greatest thing that happened to us was salvation.
That's right.
Christianity. You know what Jesus Christ did? A lot of miracles. You know, he fed the 5,000.
Yeah.
He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He preached to many people. He did so many miracles. You understand? And they were all great. But the only time he said, it is finished, was when he hung on the cross. It means the ultimate, the greatest of his work was the cross. And but for the cross, you and I had no chance. So that was the only time he shouted, it is finished. The job is done. The job got done on the cross. The job done got done on the cross. That is why our memory verse for today was Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. Thank you, brother.
You are preaching.
Yes, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. He said that, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How can we escape? How can you escape? In other words, it's such a big thing, you cannot escape it.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Salvation is not something small at all. It's really a big deal. And therefore, if you escape it or you miss it, it's your fault. We can't blame anybody.
Wow.
How can we escape so great if we neglect salvation? Like, in other words, if you miss it, it's your fault. And when I'm saying that some things are too big to miss,
too big.
Or some things are too crucial to miss, because the consequences are great. You know, some things when you miss, it's not a big deal. For example, if you go and buy a shoe and you buy the wrong size, it's not a big deal.
So,
I mean, what's the big deal? So after it's a shoe. Even if you return it, they don't take it, no big deal. But if you go and buy a house and it's a wrong house, and you already signed your mortgage and I've sent your down payment which you borrow from your credit card or the bank, it's not an easy thing at all. So misses are dangerous.
Very dangerous.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look. Or if you have the wrong girlfriend, it's not a big deal. Say, if you have the wrong girlfriend, it's not a big deal. But if you have the wrong wife, it's a big deal. Reverend, I'll say, all your life is gone. If you have the wrong wife, you are a dead man, I tell you. And if you have the wrong husband, that one is life imprisonment. So what I'm saying, so it's not about missing, but it depends on what you miss. How shall we escape if we neglect so great the salvation? It's so big you can't escape it. In other words, if you miss salvation, you are done for. Yeah. I live in Jersey and I drive on the turnpike. So those of you who know New Jersey, you see, when you get out from the Lincoln Tunnel and you get to Jersey, as it's 14, as it's 15, they are only 10 minutes apart. So when you miss as 13 or 14, it's not a big deal. You just go and make a U-turn and come. But as you go down south, between exit 8, exit 7, exit 6, they are 1 hour apart. So far apart that if you miss those ones, so it depends on what you miss. If you miss that one, it's not easy. Such a wide gap. And not only sometimes you miss and your gas is low. Pray that doesn't happen to you. Hallelujah. So, salvation is so great, amen, that we cannot miss it. And the miracle that happened, Daniel, you see, the miracle that happened in salvation is that, you see, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, Isaiah 1, 18, he says that, Isaiah, you have to refer to the Bible. Come now, let us reason together. Say the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You see, say, come, let us reason together. Come. I'm talking about salvation by Christ. Because you're going to celebrate Good Friday. One of the greatest miracles in salvation is that it doesn't matter your mistakes. It is all wiped. Come. Let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, they shall be as white as crimson. That's the miracle. Why is it a miracle? It is a miracle because in our human life, in human beings, the punishment is based on the crime. I don't see why you should get the same offense for parking offense than, let's say you get a parking ticket. It's not the same as somebody who did armed robbery. Or grand arson. Parking ticket, you just get a fine. I mean, just plus even a parking ticket depends on where you got it. If you get a parking ticket in Newark, it's not the same as parking ticket in Manhattan. Over here, where you get parking ticket? Newark now. I don't care about it. Newark, they say, rent your car, so don't worry. Because parking ticket is $25. $30. Even I got one recently, I didn't pay. They send me a court notice. I said, okay, I'll call the judge and I'll see. And even though I didn't pay court notice, everything, you know how much was the fine? Shall I tell you, when the judge court notice everything? $65. But I remember Manhattan. Yeah. My goodness. They tow your car. By the time I found my car, $400 is gone. So the crime is the punishment is based on the crime. Yeah. But you see, that's how we do. That's how we human beings are. We punish based on the crime. But when it comes to God and salvation, it does not matter the crime. It does not matter the crime. It does not matter your background. It is all forgiven. It is all forgiven. It is all forgiven. It is all forgiven. It does not matter your background. That is why Billy Graham said, the same blood of Jesus that saved me, Billy Graham, is the same blood that saved the drug addict. It doesn't matter. That's why it's a miracle. Because we, from human beings, it matters. That's why it's a miracle. The punishment is based. based on the crime. But when it comes to salvation, it's the same. I actually had a practical experience of this one when I was with the prophet. I was with a prophet who went for a crusade in Liberia, healing Jesus. And as I was sitting on the stage, with a prophet on the stage for the crusade, you know, should I tell you what I saw? Somebody said, look behind you. And I looked behind me. And do you know who was sitting behind me? If I tell you, you won't believe it. Some of you don't know somebody. The one who was sitting behind me was a guy called General Back Naked. The one who walked naked. I mean, the guy, Daniel, the guy was called, and if you watch the Civil War in Liberia, this was the guy who used to walk naked because he had some black magic. And he used to kill people, children, and he would rip the hat and eat the hat alive so he can get some powers. This was the guy. And the reason why he walked naked is that so that no bullet can enter his body. Oh, it's terrible. Terrible. And now this guy is born again. He's saved. I mean, this guy is born again. He's saved. And he's sitting on the stage. So when someone tapped my shoulder and I saw him, I said, hey! From that time, I was not comfortable at all. I keep looking back just in case. I was not comfortable at all. Just in case, you know. As they say in my language, even though when somebody's cured of the madness, there's a small. I said, hey! So I keep looking back. But it's the same. Same blood. Same blood. Same forgiveness. Because you see, and that's why it's a miracle. I mean, even for some of us, sometimes when somebody has done something to you, you know the person is forgiven, but you wish more that, God, this one day. Yeah, same blood. Hallelujah. That's the miracle. Amen. Yeah. And your sins are wiped away. They are wiped away. God, you see, God does not keep records. Come, let us reason together. He does not keep our records. At all. You see, we are totally forgiven. He does not keep the records. I'm saying it's a miracle. Why is it a miracle? Because human beings keep records. We keep records. That is why when you are filling a form, they'll say, do you have any past criminal record? Have you seen that? There is a column that do you have any past criminal record? Even though you are free on the road, your criminal record is still on. But when it comes to God, he does not keep our criminal records. Because some of us, the things we have done in the past, the way we have gone, it is a record. If there were records. I know somebody who came to church. He walked to church. And whilst he was in the church, he saw one of the pastors in front. He walked out. He literally walked out. So somebody asked me why. He said, this guy. If he's a pastor, now come to this church. He said, hey, he was wicked. So we keep records. We keep records. One guy was driving, was arrested by the police. And when the police caught him, you know, they read the Miranda law. They told him that you have the right to keep silent. Knowing that everything that you said will be used what? That's the Miranda law. When they told the guy said, I know, I'm a married man. You understand what the guy said? He said, I know already. I'm a married man. You understand? You understand what the guy said? It means he's a married man. He knows how things are used against him. said, I know, I'm a married man. It's very common. The person says she has forgotten. But as soon as we, you say you have changed. I mean, 3 years ago, when we were standing on 85th Street, and then at 2 o'clock, you did the same thing. You have not forgotten at all. They can remember even where you were standing. And what you were wearing, they have not forgotten at all. Hey! Records! They can exactly remember where what you were doing. Say, you keep on saying that. He said you are forgiving me. Then they'll tell you to forgive is one thing, but to forget is another. Show me a verse. You see, but you see, I can give you, I don't know how long I've preached, but I can give you something. You see, nobody here should struggle with forgiveness. Don't at all. Don't at all. It is in your own interest to forgive. Amen. It is profitable for you to forgive. Yes, it may be painful, it may be difficult, but it is in your own interest to forgive. Because it's when you don't forgive, you remove forgiveness from yourself. And I'll say something. You see, don't worry. You see, sometimes the reason we struggle to forgive, we think somebody's going to go scot-free. Isn't that what you think so? You think somebody's going to go unpunished for what he has done to me. Oh, Reverend, no. No, I can't let it go. You see, but you see, you hang yourself when you think that way. Nobody, I'm telling you as a pastor, not even as a pastor, as a Christian, you cannot afford to walk in unforgiveness. Two people who are very spiritual who have told me this. One was prophet. Because prophet is my friend, we talk. And I remember what something happened. I said, Charlie, Bishop, how? He told me, Nosh. That's how I come, Nosh. I have no choice but to forgive. In other words, when it comes to forgiveness, there's no choice. There's no choice. You have to forgive. Yes, your father did not look after you. Your dad was mean to you. Somebody was abused. You were abused as a child. It doesn't matter. There's no choice. And I'm not, the other person was Prophet Kakabeni. I was working with him. Some of you don't know him. You know, like, he can quote the verses like the Bible is in his head. So I asked him, how come you can quote verses like that? Because I'm more intelligent than you in school. I told him that when it comes to Shabri, I'm more Shabri than you in school. So how come you can quote the verses like me? I can't quote these verses like that. And he told me that it comes like a screen in his head. You see, like a video, it plays like a screen in his head. And he told me on a few times that he misses his, he says, but on a few times that it goes away, it's when he has quarrel with his wife and is angry with his wife. It goes away. So every time I'm offended and angry with my wife, it goes away. Are you hearing me? So he told me that no matter what my wife does, I refuse to be angry because I value the anointing more than her small quarreling. Are you hearing me? So don't joke with forgiveness. It's in your interest. Should I tell you something that will make you happy, Michelle? Michelle, should I tell you that will make you happy? You see, your duty is to forgive. Okay? That's your duty. You have no choice. Okay? But it does not mean the person will not be punished. Because vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Your part is to forgive. Whether the person will be punished or not, that's up to God. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. And I can show you in the Bible. When Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are what. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Did God answer his prayer? I'm asking you a question. Did God answer his prayer? You are so quiet. I said, did God answer his prayer? Yes. God answered his prayers. So they were forgiven. Do you understand what I'm saying? In one breath, they were forgiven. But that does not negate the law of sowing and reaping. Because even though God forgave them, God also said that whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Because the same people said, let his blood be upon us and on our children and our children's children. And up till now, their blood is upon them, upon their children and their children. So you forgive, but leave the vengeance to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. He said, forgive him. Amen. Yeah. Forgive. That is why I personally, you know, like when I to prophet him, to me, I forgive you. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is more advantageous to me. See, I'm not, it's not easy. See, sometimes the people who offend you, ask yourself that really you. Yeah. Sometimes you honor your father. You see, some of us, it's easy to honor your father. But some people, it's not easy. I mean, if your own father abused you, do you think it's easy to honor him? So it's not that easy. But you have to. You have no right. You have no choice. Just forgive. Because it's in our interest. Hallelujah. So I'm preaching to you as a Christian. Nobody here should walk in unforgiveness. Forgive 100%. I say forgive what? 100%. I say forgive what? Not 99.9. 100%. That's it. Let it go. Just let it go. Just let it go. And let God choose to punish or not punish. Because vengeance, he says. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. Look, the salvation, you see, another miracle that happened in salvation is, in the miracle of salvation, the unlovable is loved. Yeah. I say, in the miracle of salvation, the unlovable is what? Love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Yeah. But God showed his love towards us. That whilst we were yet sinners, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen to me, church. God showed his love to us. Not after we have changed. Not after we have put on a good behavior. Whilst we are yet sinners. You know, it is easy to love somebody when the person is good. But God commended his love towards us. So in the miracle of salvation, the unlovable is love. And let me tell you something, some people are difficult to love. Just as some people are difficult to forgive. Including your ex. I said, including who? I'm preaching me after I'm going home. Including who? It's difficult to forgive. If you consider. The investment. The time. That you have input into the person. Your ex. But you have to forgive. You have to forgive. And you have to love. You have no choice. In the same way, some people are difficult to love. I once was doing counseling. I was doing counseling. A man. Talk, and I was asking him to reconsider going back to the wife and forgive her. And he was telling me that, look, Reverend, I can't. It's difficult. And what he was saying, he was not lying. Because what the woman did was terrible. You see, when a man does something bad, it's not as bad as a woman does something. Women can be wicked, though. I don't know whether I'm in the right church. Man, I don't know whether I'm in the right church. Hey, when a woman decides to be wicked, they are wild. Joy, am I in the right church? Yeah? You have not seen a terrible woman before. Can't compare them to a man at all. The wife did something terrible. Because when men are weak, bad, it's only usually on the moment. But when a woman is bad, it's calculated, planned. Why are you looking at me some way? You know, so it was terrible. And I can understand. So he said, Reverend, it's difficult. Then he told me, Reverend, I respect you. And I respect your counsel. So I have no problem. If only she will change, I'll take her back. She will change, I'll take her back. If only she will change, I will take her back. I said, but what about if he doesn't? Then she told me, well, that will be difficult. And I said, yes, it will be difficult. But I have a verse for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Whilst we were yet sinners, God commended his love. If he was waiting for you to change, he would not have changed. So sometimes you have to love the person in the unlovable state. And you are frowning your face because you don't understand the power. The power of that destiny is that, that's what John said, that we know that he loved us. He said, we love him. He said, we love him because he first loved us. We love him. What's the reason? Because what? He first. So what if you have the grace to love the unlovable, it turns people around. It turns people around. So after your husband has been mean, he has been rude, he has been shouting at you, when he comes home, he's expecting you to be rude and shout, but you lay a table, 5-course dinner. Because his reaction is he expects you to behave, misbehave. But you give a nice cook. He'll be confused. He'll be confused. That's the power of love. That's the power of love. After your wife has been rude, has been shopping you, and especially that when he comes, you're going to squeeze your face. When he comes, say, honey. No, you told your wife, honey, is there anything in the car that I can help you bring into the house? You see, I once watched a movie. I think you have to go and watch it. Kevin Hart. I watched him, Kevin Hart. He did something terrible to his wife. And then when he came back, the woman had cooked. So in the movie, he went to the bathroom and picked up his phone. Yo, she's cooked. I think this is my last meal. Can I say, yo, she's cooked. I think this is my last meal. Your last meal. Because it's not normal. But if you can, that's the power. That's the power to turn the person around when you love them whilst they are still sinners. Hallelujah. Look, It's a great miracle. Hallelujah. And I pray that, you know, I love Easter and I love Good Friday. You see, because it's a great miracle. Salvation brings light. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walk in darkness have seen what? The people walking in darkness have seen what? The people walking in darkness have seen what? A great light. Listen to me, church. One week, salvation brought great light to us. Great light. And just in case you don't know, sometimes we hurt ourselves. Sometimes we go through unnecessary pain because we are in darkness. See, the only reason I can walk from here to the back without getting injured is because the light is on. When you turn off this light, I may hit my foot against something. A lot of believers, we keep on hitting our foot because the light has been turned off. Yeah. The reason why I can go straight here and come up because there's a lot of light. And that is why I say we must walk in the light. 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 You have no idea what salvation has done for you. Even the light it has brought into your finances. Because it is because of salvation and the preaching of the word that has taught you something like frugality. Some of us, but for the light of the gospel, will be seriously in debt. It is the light that has even taught you to be humble. That the greatest in the kingdom has to be humble. I once told one of my daughters many years ago in Newark, I said, "You're not ready to marry. I will not recommend you for marriage." He said, "Reverend, why are you saying that?" I said, "Because you are too proud. The state that you are in, if you marry, you will divorce." I told her personally that you, today, as of today, if you marry, you divorce. He said, "Reverend, why do you say so?" I said, "I am counseling you. You, if you marry today, you divorce. Because you are too haughty." But over the years, as she stayed in the church and she matured and humility came in, I said, "Now is the time." Light. Some of us are in serious financial crisis because there was no light for frugality. I keep on asking you. Who are you trying to impress? Why are you driving a car that you cannot even put gas into it? And I had this experience when I went to South Africa. In South Africa, some of the guys came to me, they were driving Mercedes. And I was shocked that I, the visitor, had to put gas in. They was like, "So I said, why drive a Mercedes Benz when you cannot put gas into it?" Yeah. So I asked one of them, "So it's a common thing here. People look flashy. But they have nothing." You see, but when the light comes that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses, you will know that there is more light in having living than your possession. And therefore, having food and revelation, let there be content. Most of us will have a happy and a peaceful life if we have this revelation. I was once talking to a certain lady. I told her, "At your age, you are 40, 42, and you are on 6 blood pressure medications. 42 years old. You are taking 6 blood pressure medications. Calcium channel blockers, angiotensin receptors, alpha-1 agonists, name it! And has added an anxiety medication." So as I spoke to her, and I said, "What life is this?" You know why? She's living in a house she cannot afford. She's taking her children to school that she cannot pay. She's stressing her husband out, that her husband does not bring in money. I said, "Listen to me. Most people will take your husband hands down. A man who brings in about $80,000 a year is not a bad man at all. People are bringing 25 and they have taken them like that." complained, Reverend, he's lazy. He can do overtime. I said, pfft. And the guy is one of those guys that, look, 40 hours, I'm done. You know, there's some men who are like that. 40 hours, I am done. Because he likes to go fishing, things like that. You know, like that kind of guy. He's a white man, he has to go fishing. So I was telling her, look, I've been a pastor with many daughters in the church. This is your husband. A lot of women will take him like that. But because you are not content. 80,000 a year. Hey, you're like, let me put it in the picture. You see them all. Those who apply in secret. He said, but you are not content. So, 42 years old, you're on sex medications. I tell her, look, a man's life, that's not consistent. I believe in prosperity, but I definitely hate poverty. And you need the light. The light of God. The light of God. You read the Bible. The Bible is a light. It will tell you. The light. Some of these young guys, I keep on telling you. You see, the light. The light will tell you that a husband is not in height or structure. A husband is in character. Because the six-pack that you are admiring, without the Spirit of God, that six-pack will be used to slap you. But you need the light. You need the light. We need the light of the gospel. A man's life, let me tell you something. I mean, sisters, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things of which he possesses. I'm telling you, both from the Bible and from personal experience. At a certain age, you don't need a certain stress in your life. At a certain age, you see, you should not be paying secondary, you should not be paying college fees and paying a mortgage. They are too stressful. I'm just giving you a free tip. Man, pray that God will give you wisdom that by the time that you have to pay college fees, your house is paid off. Because I know somebody who went crazy because, and he told me, I said, Reverend, I'm paying college fees and I'm paying mortgage. He's going crazy. It's a wisdom. A man's life. This is the light. It's salvation. It's light. It's light. We need the light. The light will tell you, the light of the gospel, that one hand with contentment is better than two hands with aggravation. Go and check Proverbs. Because your two hands are full, but it's too much aggravation. But one hand with contentment is better than two. That's the light of the gospel. You need the light. And it comes from the word of God. It comes from salvation. You need the light. You see, the light will tell you that be content with your wife. You see, one woman is enough. Why do you need three women? Look. Side chick is not cheap. I said side chick is not cheap at all. I used to have a friend, a fellow doctor. He was an unbeliever though. Every extra shift you take. As soon as they say an extra shift is open, this guy will pick it up. Ben. So I asked him one day, Dr. Susan, so why are you always doing the overtime extra shift? He said, Charles, you know, I got bills. I said, what are the bills? And he said, child support. Upon child support, he's married though, but he has about three other children with three different women, including one of the nurses on the unit. So that's about 33. The nurse on the unit, he has had a child with the nurse, so the nurse is not you. The light. I said the light. I said, the light of the gospel. The light of the gospel. The light of the gospel. Yeah. You're not in the shadow of darkness. I have seen a great light. Yeah. Yeah. They that dwell in the land of shadow of death, upon them light has shined. Light. So when Jesus said in the book of John that I am the light of the world, in John, Jesus said, I am the light. The light of the world. I am the light of the world. Do you know why he said that? Or the context? Do you know the context? The context of that statement was made when the woman was caught in adultery. John 8. When the woman was caught in adultery, and they brought the woman, and they said that she was caught in the very act of adultery, and therefore she should be stoned to death. Then Jesus said, anyone without sin must cast the first stone. And the Bible said, beginning from the elders, they began to march away. And then when everybody walked away, he said, I am the light. Well, go think about it. Go think about it. Why is he talking about the light of the world? In other words, vengeance will lead to blindness and darkness. If you want to be a light, avoid vengeance. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. In other words, the ability not to revenge puts you in the light. And I can do. Do you think if they are a bad woman and killed her, don't you know that the woman also has brothers? Don't you know she has sisters? And they will look at the guy who threw the first stone and say, oh, okay, you killed our sister. Will come at night. It will keep on going. It will keep on going. So say, I am the light because I have shown you a light. In other words, don't go for vengeance. You keep on harming yourself. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, Manhattan, I conclude today by saying that may you walk in the light. I say, may you walk in the light. Anything that is planned to be darkness that will hurt you, may God deliver you. May God protect you from evil and darkness. May the light shine that there will be a difference between you and your neighbors. The Bible said there was a difference between Goshen and the rest of Israel. Stand up to your feet. Kali masuka tandari ababa. Ela mama zondori ababa. Ela mazeneri kaba katandari ababa. Pray, 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 pray.
Yes, Lord.
Pray for the light.
My God. Father,
pray for the light. Pray for the light. You are on this Palm Sunday,
I am the light.
May you walk in the light.
In the name of
may you walk in the light of salvation. No walk in darkness. No walk in obscurity. May you walk in the light.
In the name
Mashukata
of Jesus.
The Mashukata andari ababa. Ila Mashukata andari ababa.
May we walk in the light.
Keep standing.
May we walk in the light.
I'm going to pray for you. And the prayer I'm going to pray for you is the prayer that Paul prayed.
Yes, Lord.
In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Keep standing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. 11. 12. 13. 14. 15. Wherefore? I also, Paul was talking to the church. Amen. Wherefore, I also, after I have heard of your faith, Manhattan, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus,
amen,
and love unto all the saints, after I, Reverend, I have heard of your faith.
Amen.
What did he say? Verse 16. Yes. Cease not to give thanks for you,
amen,
making mention of you in my prayers.
Hallelujah.
And this is my prayer. Jesus. Which was his prayer? Yes. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. So I'm praying for this church.
Yes, Lord.
That God will give you the spirit of wisdom.
In Jesus' name.
And revelation.
Amen.
Wisdom and revelation. Listen
to
me, church.
Jesus.
It's not only revelation. Revelation is to know what to do. Because without revelation, there's no possession.
Yes.
Okay? But it is not only revelation. It is wisdom and revelation. Sometimes you may know what to do, but how?
How?
It's not what to do, but how. It's not what to do, but what?
How.
And the how is the wisdom. So I pray that as we enter this Easter season, may God grant unto you the spirit of revelation.
In the name of Jesus.
Wisdom and revelation. Lift up your hand up and I pray for you.
In the name of Jesus.
Paul said, after I heard of your faith, after I heard of your service, your dedication, Father, I go down on my knees.
Yes, Lord.
And I pray for this church.
In the name of Jesus.
For Paul said, after I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I kneel down.
Yes.
And I said, for their faithfulness,
for
their loyalty, for their long standing, for the stress and the difficulty they've gone through,
amen,
just to keep this church.
Yes.
Father, like Paul,
yes,
may you grant unto them
in the name of Jesus
the spirit of wisdom
in the name of Jesus
and revelation.
Amen.
Wisdom.
Amen.
And revelation.
Amen.
In the knowledge of you.
Yes, Lord.
Father, let there be light.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
Let there be light.
Amen.
Let none here walk in darkness.
In the name of Jesus.
Deliver us from painful hurts and
Amen.
Painful mistakes.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
Father, any mistake that is irrevocable, I cancel it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Anything that is painful that will cause distress, I cancel it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, may the light shine.
Yes.
Amen.
Father, I pray.
Yes, Lord.
Deliver us from regrettable mistakes.
In Jesus' name.
May the light shine.
Yes, Lord.
May the light shine.
May the light shine.
May the light shine. Father, they will know what to do and what to say.
In the name of
Father, by revelation, let them know.
In Jesus' name.
And by wisdom, let them be able to do it.
In Jesus'
name. Father, by revelation, let them know.
In Jesus' name.
And by wisdom, let them be able to
in
do it.
Jesus.
By revelation, let them know.
Yes, Lord.
And by wisdom, let them be able to do
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Let the light shine.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord. Now, with every eye closed and every head bowed, you are here, you are not born again. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You may be, if you come to church for a long time, you are young, you are old, you are new, whatever it is. Salvation is an individual thing. Salvation is an individual thing. So if you are here and you are not born again, you are walking in darkness. You are walking in obscurity. You want to give your life to Jesus. You want to say, Pastor, I heard you preach. I heard your message. But deep down in my heart, I don't know Jesus. Listen, the greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation.
Amen.
So if you want to do that, in your wherever you are standing, quietly, please lift up your hand and I'll pray for you. You can even be a child. It doesn't matter. You must be born again. I'm telling you. Some time ago, I took that decision. And God saved me. So if you are not born again here, don't let me leave this pulpit without giving your life to Christ. So just lift up your hand quietly. Today is the day of salvation. And I pray that everybody here is saved. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, this Sunday afternoon,
Sunday afternoon.
Thank you for salvation.
Thank you for salvation.
May I walk in the light.
May I walk in the light.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord and be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We hope you have been blessed. Come join us for any of our services. Contact us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Lycos Manhattan. That's Lycos, LAIKOS Manhattan. You can also email us at lci.newyork@gmail.com. Visit us on the web at www.lcimanhattan.com.